In the name of Jesus, amen. Today we consider the well-known parable of the sower. And in it, Jesus says these words. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When Jesus teaches this parable, he's not talking to unbelievers who will not and cannot hear what Jesus is saying here, or won't consider it or pay attention to it. In this parable, he is speaking to Christians. He's speaking to those who do already right now believe, who have faith. And with that being said, this parable is a warning for Christians. That if you have faith right now, if you're paying attention to these words right now, if you believe and you are a Christian, well then this parable is a warning to you. That's what it's for. It's not a parable on how you get faith per se. Yes, that's part of it, but that's not the main point of it. It's really a parable about how you lose the faith, the attacks that are against you and on your faith. This parable is a very clear teaching against the false and popular doctrine, false teaching of once saved, always saved. Thinking that if you have faith at one point or you're a Christian genuinely at one point, then you don't have anything else to worry about because you'll always be that way. And this parable says the opposite. That is not true. It's from the lips of Jesus. And this is why you should listen and pay attention very, very well here. No matter how strong a Christian you think you are always, as long as you have breath in your lungs, you are always in danger of losing the faith that God has given you, the faith that he blessed you with. So in this parable, he gives us three scenarios, three situations in which we lose our faith, and three things that will kill your faith ultimately. The first scenario is this. He says the first is the seed that fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And he says that the birds of the air devoured it. Later on in the text, as you heard in the second part of it, he says what this means. He says the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. That is not really the best translation there. I think some English translations translate it better. In the Greek, what we have here, the word believe there is in the participle form, and that means it's better translated not as that they, lest they believe or not believe, but rather having believed. So in other words, it would read like this. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they would not, having believed, be saved. In other words, it's saying that the first soil had faith at some point. They had believed at some point, but that faith was short-lived. They had a Christian life, but it was very short. Matthew's gospel tells us more. The gospel of Luke doesn't tell us more about this, but if you read Matthew and you read the same parable, you're going to see Jesus explain even more. He adds another detail that's crucial here, and he records that Jesus says these words, that these are the ones who hear the word of God, the word of the kingdom, and do not understand it. Simply put, this has to do with your mind or your brain. Understanding the word of God. So simply letting the word of God go into one ear and out the other without paying attention to it or grabbing a hold of it, holding it and treasuring it in your heart, or comprehending or understanding the words that are being said, that is the problem here with the first soil. That's the issue. He's not saying you need a certain IQ level or a certain amount of intelligence in order to be saved. He's simply talking about paying attention. That's what he's talking about. Paying attention to the word. Before anyone can fall away from the faith, the very first step to falling away is not paying attention anymore. That you're here and then your mind is somewhere else. Physically you're here, your mind is checked out, thinking on other things. I mean, there have been times, and I know this, and from what you tell me, from what I know of myself, that there are times you are so obsessed with a sin, with a thought in your mind, that you cannot even listen to the Word of God anymore, that it's just consuming your mind. Jesus tells us that these are people who paid attention at one time, and then they don't anymore. They studied the scriptures, they learned the catechism, and then they just tossed it under their bed one day, and they no longer care. And when this happens, he says that the devil comes and snatches away the little bit of God's word that they had left there, and he takes it from them. I'll try to be as relevant as I can here. I think that's the trend, is relevant preaching, right? If you come to church and you sit in the pew and you go through all the motions, you stand, you sit at the right times, you make the sign of the cross at the right times in the service, you bow, you sing loud, all these sort of things, you dress well, but you're not paying attention and listening, if this is only a routine or a habit, this is a warning that you will fall away very soon. That is what Jesus is saying. It is that simple. It is just a matter of time. If that is the condition you are in, it is just a matter of time. This is frightening. If you leave church on a Sunday and then somebody asks you, I don't know, a friend or a coworker asks you, hey, what was that sermon about? What was Sunday about? And you say, I don't know. I don't remember. I can't recall. I didn't get it. I wasn't paying attention. Then you are the first soil. Do you see this? Just hearing noises and sounds in church without paying attention to what it says means your faith is going to die very soon. That's the warning. The second soil Jesus talks about here is the soil that is the rocky ground, the stony ground. Jesus says, they hear the word and they receive it with joy, but these, they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. Again, they believe for a time, and then they fall away. They have a shallow faith. It is a faith that has no roots, no depth to it. It's just surface level. They are Christians, and this is what we talk about today. They are Christians insofar as it is convenient to be a Christian. As long as it doesn't require any tough conversations or being called out on certain things or being told to stop or change a certain behavior in my life or whatever it might be, as long as there's no awkwardness or having to reconcile and forgive and bury a grudge and change my life and amend my ways, as long as it doesn't include those things, then they're Christians. Because it's just all joyful here. They're there for the thrill and the joy of the times. Things like the building up of a church, seeing a growing and active church, seeing things that are exciting in this way. But when something like strife and disagreement and toil comes up in the congregation, when there's troubles, when they need to bear one another's burdens, when they need to cover each other's faults with love, then they pull away and their faith dies. Even more, when the world starts to mock Christianity, when Christianity is no longer cool or acceptable socially, when we have to bear labels that the sinful world gives us, like we're just hypocrites, we are hateful people, we're stupid, we're just fools, we are bigoted, we are sexist, we just don't know things, we don't know science, whatever it might be. A lot of Christians, when they hear these things, what do? They get intimidated. And then they cower away. And rather than holding that friendship with Christ, they would rather make friends with the world. And the world has already made up their minds about you. That's the point. You will never please the world as long as you're a Christian. There's nothing you can do that will please the world. It's never enough. If you give up this doctrine, they're going to tell you to give up the next one, and the next one, and the next one, until you give it all up, because they're never satisfied. But these are the Christians who do this. They're influenced by the world. They think the world's opinion of them matters in this way. Because they have no roots. They were Christians as long as it was convenient, as long as it didn't cause any suffering. Along the lines of this soil, there's something important here, and I think we can examine ourselves with this. I want you to take a moment and just be honest with yourself. You don't have to say anything out loud, whatever. Just think in your mind. Be honest with yourself on these words. Why are you here today? Why? Seriously, are you here out of habit? Right? Are you here because you had no other place to go? Or is this just the thing you do on Sundays? Is that what it is? It's just, well, yeah, we go to church, we get up, we get dressed, and we go to church, and that's the habit. And then afterward, we have our free time or whatever. Are you here simply because your parents brought you here? Or are you here because your spouse brought you here? Why did you come here to begin with, is the question. Was it because we had a school at one time? Or because we don't now? Is it because we have a nice building? Or because there's good music and good hymns? Is it because you were looking for friends and a community and something to be a part of? Is it because the pastor is young and cool? Which is true, but that's not the point. If the reason you came here is not because of the pure preaching of God's holy word and the pure doctrine and the right administration of the sacraments, if that is not the chief reason, the main reason, the heart and soul of why you get up every morning and come here, then you're here for the wrong reason. And unless you repent, you will not be here much longer. The reason is because all those things I mentioned, they ebb and flow, they change. They change throughout the years. One year, your parents are here. And another year, they won't be. One year, we'll have a school. One year, we won't. One year, the building is beautiful. And the other year, it's falling apart. One year, the singing is powerful and strong and moves you. And the other year, it's not. One year, there are people your age, and then another year there aren't, and so on and so forth. If you come to church because of these reasons, then you will leave when these reasons are gone too. In other words, what brings you here is what keeps you here. If you came for the pure preaching of God's word, you will be here by the grace of God, God willing, as long as his word is preached here. No matter what's falling apart around us. Even if there's only two of us here. If it's only me and one of you in these pews. You will still be here if the word of God is here. Anybody can join a church for one of those reasons. But it is faith alone that goes to church to receive the forgiveness of sins. And this faith doesn't count the cost of it. It doesn't count how much it requires of them, or what we may lose on account of it. If something else brings you here and not the pure word of God alone, then I am afraid to tell you, again, you will not be here much longer. The third soil Jesus brings up here is the soil of the weeds and the thorns. That is, the seed that fell in the soil that's surrounded by a bunch of other weeds and other things growing along with it. Jesus says these words, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares of and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. In my observation, I think the first two soils die fairly quickly, but this third soil takes the longest. It takes a very, very, very long time. And this is kind of a long and slow death. This is the faith that has roots. This one is different. This one has roots and it grows up. But as it grows up, it's slowly choked out by other things, cares and things in this life. And Jesus calls them weeds. Now, Florida is full of weeds. And what I mean by that is that there are a lot of things to do, a lot of things competing with your time. Because it doesn't snow here, the weather's always nice here, it's always a good day to go to the beach, it's always a good day to go to a theme park, and there's tons of them. It's always a good day to hang out and go to a restaurant or have a picnic, whatever it might be. It's just always time, that we're always in season to do something. And so it is so easy to sit back and relax and not take anything too seriously here. God blessed us with a great state. He blessed us with a wonderful place to live and so many things to do. But these things, the Lord says, these things are, these cares and riches and pleasures are weeds. If you are attached to a particular sin or a thing or a behavior and that you keep going back to again and again and again, and you just don't give it up, it's going to grow with the faith, as along with your faith, but eventually that weed is going to choke it out. If you don't take those things out, they will take you out. I cannot tell you how many people have left the church because of the calendar, because they couldn't manage it. I've seen people schedule things on a Sunday, one day, neutral things, good things even, being with family, good things. And then it turns into two Sundays and three and four and months and years, and they're gone. I say this often, but God has entrusted children to our care, and they are not ours, they belong to Him. God simply has given us the honor and the blessing to raise these children that belong to Him. Again, your children are not yours, they belong to God. You have them for a time, but they are His. And we are to treat them in the best way possible. Don't scandalize them. And the Lord has very harsh words for people who do such things. The best way to treat your children, the best thing you can do for your child, the best place for your child to be in the world is right here with you in church. And the worst place for your child to be is anywhere else on a Sunday morning. It's that simple. Take this warning seriously to heart while you have time. Do not enroll your child in anything that competes with their Sunday morning. You have one chance to raise your children. You have one chance to train them in the way they should go. You have 18 years, 18 Easters, 18 Christmases. That is it. And you don't get those days back. When they are gone, they are gone. It is not worth throwing those years away, those days away, for a ribbon that won't matter the next week, or a trophy that nobody's going to care about in a year that's irrelevant. I'm not saying your kids can't play sports or do things. These are good things. Do them. Of course you can. Be active and enjoy the life God gave you. This is a great thing. Just don't do it when God is giving out His forgiveness and His salvation. Do it any other time except for the one time He's doing this, when we gather together and sing praises to His name for forgiving our sins and feeding us His very body and blood for our forgiveness. You can play games the other 167 hours a week. I was just talking to the First Communion class about this. The average amount of time somebody spends on their phone, the average American spends 7 hours a day looking at their screen. Average. Church is about 1 hour, roughly. That's 0.6% of your week. 7 hours a day versus that. 7 hours a day of just being pumped full of all of this information. Who knows what you're hearing? Versus hearing these words one time. Play games before and after church. I don't care how good your children are at what they do. Do you really think that instead of receiving the forgiveness of sins through the full atonement and satisfaction of Christ's death on the cross, that that is somehow less important than kicking around a ball. I know that no parent ever wants this or dreams of it or wants to destroy their child's faith or their eternal life. But I can't tell you how many Christian parents have told me later on in life that their biggest mistake, their biggest regret, the biggest bitterness that they have is that they left their child on a field somewhere on a Sunday morning. That is a warning, not only for you children and for your children, but also for all of you. The same exact thing. Just make this the priority. Make it it's the first day of the week. It's the first time of the day. Make that the thing. We are surrounded by weeds. If this matters to you, if eternal life matters to you, if not going to hell is important to you, then do this. If you've let too many things creep in on a Sunday morning on your calendar, this is a warning to take those things out and start again here today. Those are the three warnings Jesus gives us today, and I want you to know this, that every year this text is more and more sobering to me as a pastor and for all the pastors that I know. Every time they get to this text, they're just a little bit more down each year. Because I've stood here in this pulpit and preached the same sermon on the same text year after year, and I shudder to think of how many people heard it 9, 10 years in a row, or even 5 years ago, or even just last year, and they're not here this year. What happened? They didn't pay attention. They didn't take it to heart. That's what happened. So they didn't make it to the next one, to the next year. Their faith died along the way. Either the cares of this life, the joy of this life, or just not paying attention to the word, something brought them that it died between a calendar year. Within 365 days there, it was gone. They were sitting here next to you, hearing the same exact warning, and they didn't listen. And from what I can tell, they won't listen. Now, Jesus doesn't want you to fall away, and that's precisely why he warns you. So to give some comfort here, if this sermon, if anything I've said today, made you uncomfortable, and you don't like it, and you're not so happy about what I said, then that makes me happy. I'm glad. Because if you are concerned that you may have drifted and become one of these bad soils, if you're concerned that faith has died in your heart and that you may not be a Christian anymore because of these things, if you're concerned about that, then that means that you are most certainly not one of those three soils. If you're concerned about falling away, then that means what? That you have not yet fallen away. If you're concerned that you have lost the faith, then you have not yet lost it. Because if you had lost the faith, if you truly had lost the faith, then you wouldn't care that you did. You wouldn't be hearing this. None of this would affect you. It wouldn't matter to you. You wouldn't care about what this parable says or what Jesus says or what I say. You wouldn't care. I could turn blue in the face and it just would not affect you at all. In fact, the only reason you are concerned with what the parable says is because you can still hear with these words. And the reason you can still hear them and pay attention to them is because the Lord has given you faith. It may be a dying ember of faith left in your heart, but you still have faith. So you have to take these warnings seriously. With that being said, I don't know the condition of your heart. I don't know how close you are to falling away. I don't know how weak your faith is. I don't know what particular sins you are making a habit of and continue to follow again and again that are hardening your heart. You may be a lot closer than I think. And I think we're a lot closer than we all think individually. These could be the last words you hear as a Christian before you fall away. It could be. Or these could be the words that pull you out and bring you back into the faith. and fill your heart with hope and the love of Christ. What I know is that if you are hearing these words, no matter what has happened or what you're going through, it is not too late. Even if you have just forgotten to come to church, you've neglected and rejected to come to church 1,000 times before, right now you're hearing the word of God and he's instilling and giving you faith in your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Repent now because you may not get tomorrow. So if you can hear what I'm saying, then hear what I'm saying. If you've made it this far into the sermon, and if you're hearing it right now, and you're concerned about how close you've come to falling away, how inattentive you've been in years past, or even last Sunday, how shallow your faith is, how you failed in so many ways, how many weeds and cares and pleasures and riches of this life are choking your faith out, God has given you ears to hear, and through this word has made you the good soil that hears his word right now. So hold fast to it with an honest and a good heart, that it bears fruit with patience. Through his word, God creates a clean heart in you. We're going to sing this in a few moments, pleading to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of salvation. Christ himself is the seed of the woman promised long ago. The word made flesh for you who took on your sin and died for you. He drives deep into yourself, into your very soul this day. He drives into you himself. And he plants in you his righteousness, his forgiveness through his bitter suffering and death. And he feeds it and nourishes your faith with his very body and blood. And he strengthens it unto life everlasting in a way that it cannot die as long as you have him. The secret of the kingdom of God has been revealed to all of you. All of you. You have ears to hear it. And that means the sermon is for you, which means this forgiveness is for you. And this comfort and this salvation is yours. Jesus gave you ears to hear these words right now. Take them to heart. You need them. You need these words more than you need air and breath in your lungs. This is everything. And what you need is what he gives. You have his word, you have his forgiveness, you have his salvation, you have his joy and his peace. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.